Hello, friends, and welcome to Everyday Truth with Kurt Skelly. We're here to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day, and we're glad you joined us here for the conversation. We're studying the book of Romans and learning how the power of the gospel impacts every part of our lives. Now, let's join Kurt for today's episode.
Hey, friends, welcome back to today's episode. We are winding up our study of not the book of Romans, but this great section that we have been in for some time. I've really enjoyed it. Chapters 9, 10, and 11. And what a way to end not only this great section of three chapters, but also the first section of the book. So as you understand the book of Romans in a macro sense, you'll know that chapters 1 through 11 are doctrinal. They are the things that aren't true, the indicatives that the Apostle Paul gives, much like Ephesians chapters 1 through 3, the indicatives. Here is what is true, and then here is what you do, right? Chapters 12 through 16. So there are indicatives and then imperatives. So we're going to move into the great therefore section of Romans next episode, as we begin in Romans chapter 12. Unfortunately, Romans 12 verses 1 and 2, which are very, very familiar to many of us, people don't really understand the weight of it because they don't really think about all the things we've been talking about here in the last few weeks. But when we fully understand, and I don't know that we can ever fully understand, but when we more completely understand the things about which we've been speaking, then the by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Wow, that has so much more weight. And I think we'll see that, especially as we finish up today. So you have your Bible there, perhaps. Would you open it to Romans chapter 11? And let's look at the last section here at the very end of the chapter. We probably should have included verse 32 yesterday, but the Bible says, "For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all." What's really interesting about that verse is it takes us all the way back to the beginning of Romans. Remember, as we talked about Romans 1, Romans 2, God has a heart for Jew and Gentile. Paul wanted to preach to Jew and Gentile. The Bible says he hath concluded all under sin. Creation teaches us that there's a God. Our conscience teaches us there's a God. A creation shows us that we're accountable to God. Our conscience shows us that we're accountable to God. The law of God, Romans chapter 3, demonstrates our accountability to God. And then that great section at the end of Romans where it says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And here we are in chapter 11 at the end of this doctrinal section, the Apostle Paul is reiterating that central point. And that is God hath concluded all under sin. There is nobody that measures up to the righteous standard of God. You can't wish it. You can't earn it. There's no way that you can achieve it, humanly speaking. We are all undone. There is none righteous, no, not one. So that theme is reiterated. And there's no way to earn righteousness, either by your lineage or by your works. There's no way. If you're going to receive the righteousness that God demands, it's going to have to be a gift by God's grace. That's why the Bible says that the gospel reveals the righteousness of God from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. So what is the emphasis of Romans chapters 1 through 11? The emphasis is we are sinners. We have fallen short of God's righteousness. Jesus Christ fulfilled the very righteous demands of God, and through his mediatorship and through the fact that he died, was buried, and rose again, we can receive him by faith and have imputed to us the very righteous record of Jesus. So do you see how he says it here succinctly in verse 32? So God hath concluded them all, Jew and Gentile. Even though Jews have had great privileges by having the law, that just made them more accountable. It didn't make them any more righteous. It just showed their unrighteousness that much more poignantly. And so God has concluded all of them in unbelief. So what is the sin that sends people to hell? Unbelief. What rescues us? Well, obviously Jesus, but how do we access that rescue? By faith. And that has been the theme here, chapters 9, 10, and 11. That's why these ethnic Israelites have become so jealous. How can these Gentiles be in when we're out? Because they believe and you don't. And belief is available to everybody. So the Bible says God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that, there's the purpose statement, that he might have mercy upon all. And God gives his mercy to those that come to him by faith in Jesus Christ. Now, notice the doxology at the end of Romans chapter 11, verse number 33. I think Paul just is effusive here when he says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. As the Apostle Paul just kind of ends this section, he is overcome with, who could ever come up with a plan like this? This is so deep, it's so wide, it's so awesome, it's beyond our ability to fully comprehend it. This has to be the invention of God, because no human being ever could have come up with such a marvelous and intricate plan of salvation. All Paul can say is, wow. All Paul can say is, God is great. I am overwhelmed by all of this. And isn't that true for you and me? That the more we really think about God's redemptive plan, the more we see how all the Bible weaves together the grand redemptive plan of God in Christ. And the older we get in the faith, the more depth we see, and yet the more we realize we're just scratching the surface. And here's the greatest theologian of all time, the Apostle Paul, who's saying, I just am overcome with just how wonderful this is. Oh, when's the last time you just looked at salvation's story and considered the depth of God's redemptive plan and just said, oh, God, wow. Look at verse number 34. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? This wasn't man's plan. This wasn't something that, you know, we co-authored with God. Away with the thought that we can help God with salvation. Away with the thought that somehow salvation is this trite thing that we can understand in a moment. No, the access to salvation is as simple that a child can apprehend it. And we have to come to him as a little child, but understand the scope of salvation and the depth of salvation and the plan of salvation and what God is doing in salvation and what he continues to do is something that we'll never really quite understand. The Apostle Paul quotes Isaiah here. I think he quotes Job here in an oblique way. Job chapter 41. Remember when God said to Job, Job, you're never going to understand all the reasons why I do what I do. You're never going to fully comprehend all the purposes I have, but you can know that I am God. And you can know that I am the eternal God. And where were you, Job, at the beginning? You weren't there, but I am the one that was at the beginning. I am the beginning and the end and everything in between. And I have it all under control, and you can trust me. Look at the very last verse of Romans 11. It's my favorite verse. And it says, for of him, that's God, and through him, obviously that's still God, and to him, God, are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. So what does that mean? Of him, and through him, and to him are all things. Well, the subject matter, as we know, is God's redemptive plan. God's plan to save Jew and Gentile alike. And the praise that Paul has for this rich and deep plan. Do you see kind of even the attitude of the Apostle Paul at the beginning of Romans 9? Wow, what great sorrow, continual sorrow. The heart's desire, prayer to God, the burden of his heart in Romans 10. And yet, when Paul takes time to explain it all under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he gets to the end of Romans chapter 11, says, praise God. This is unbelievable. Nothing is better than this. God's plan just supersedes anything I ever could have possibly imagined. That's what he's saying. And why? Why is that true? Well, Paul concludes with this, because of him, that means God is the divine author. He's the cause. We're not the ones that came up with salvation's plan. It wasn't as if mankind sinned and said, okay, Lord, here's my deal. Here's the way I want to climb back to you. Here's a plan that you can put into effect. No, we never would have thought of this. We never could have achieved this. No, this was all authored by him. So of him, and then through him, God is not only the author of salvation, but he's also the doer of salvation. There was nothing we could do. It wasn't like God came up with this plan like, okay, be righteous, obey my law, and you'll be saved. Now, how could that could have been God that authored that, but how could I have ever achieved that? I couldn't, and neither could you. So it's through him, and specifically through God the Son, through Jesus. God the Father sent him, Jesus obeyed and paid salvation's price, and it's through him. He accomplished for us what we could not accomplish ourselves. He fulfilled the law we could not fulfill. He paid the price we could not pay. He died the death we should have died. I mean, it was through him. He is the author and he is the completer. He is the doer of. People say, well, salvation is not by works. That's true. It's not by your works. But salvation is by works when you consider God is the one that did it. So of him, and then through him, he's the divine cause, he's the divine means, and to him. So he deserves the glory. He's the divine end. Cause, means, end. Started with him, perpetuates with him, ends with him. He gets the honor, he gets the glory, he gets the majesty, he gets the praise. It's all about him. So let me ask you a question. Where do you fit into that equation? You don't. Now, where do I fit in that equation? I don't. It's all of God, of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. So here's the point. Regardless of my choices, regardless of the choice of the ethnic Israelites, regardless of the choice of the Gentiles, regardless of man's choice, God wins. He's the divine cause. He's the divine means. He's the divine end. God doesn't need me, and God doesn't need you. But here's the good news. But God graciously has chosen to include us. He wants us. He wants to save us. He has a plan for us. So if that be true, if God is not needing me, but wants to include me, then that mercy of God ought to cause me to want to give my body a living sacrifice. And that's the whole pivot point of Romans chapter 11 to Romans chapter 12. So we're going to jump into that one next episode. Can't wait to get really, really practical in the next few weeks. It's going to be painful when we see what God expects of us. But when we understand it's his power and a motivation to love him that impels us, then I think we're really going to enjoy these next few chapters. So hang in there. We'll jump into chapter 12 and verse 1 next episode. Hope you'll stay with us. Hope you have a great day, great weekend. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If you enjoy Everyday Truth, take a moment to subscribe or share the podcast with a friend. Until next time, God bless.